The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Discipleship.ca. My name is Steve, and with me today is...
Kevin Hardy.
Kevin Hardy always says his last name.
Oh, my bad.
No, he does. And I feel like I should say, my name is Steve McLean.
You're the host. Everyone knows who you are.
Maybe. I live in the very real reality that once people meet me and then meet my wife, that they don't really care about meeting me anymore. They all want to hang out with my wife because she's way more fun than I am and nicer too. So, and she's reading the Apostles' Creed for us here at the start of all of these episodes, but she also does our Tuesday Psalms episode and is with me on the Thursdays as we go through those ones. But thanks for joining us as we have another discussion with the hope, prayer, and goal of encouraging you in your daily walk of faith and journey towards Christ-likeness as we explore scripture, faith, and Christian life, as well as talking about what Jesus is teaching us on our journeys of faith. And today that is More Apostles' Creed, episode 5 in this mini-series, which is Suffered Under Pontius Pilate.
Yes.
So one brief statement about a kind of puppet ruler established by the Roman government who shows up at the end of all of the gospel accounts to supervise and approve the torture and crucifixion of Jesus. Like, he's the guy that says, I wash my hands of this, do as you're going to do. Because he was frustrated with the Jews.
He's innocent, but you can go ahead and kill him.
I don't think you should, but I don't care what you do.
Yeah. He's an interesting cat. He's an interesting dude.
Yeah, I feel like he's a tired dad. Because that's, you know, Kevin and I are both fathers, but there are days where you're just like, I don't think you should do that. But you know what? Yeah, just do what you're going to do, and we'll figure it out later.
That was one line in reading J.I. Packer affirming the Apostles' Creed. He just mentions this on Pilate. That just made me think of this. He says, Pilate, having symbolically washed his hands of the matter, the goofiest gesture perhaps of all time. That's what J.I. Packer, I don't know, maybe not everyone's familiar with J.I. Packer, but just reading him say the goofiest gesture.
Yeah, and I think that book, Packer was probably like in his 70s or 80s when he wrote that book.
But that just caught me. He says he gave the green light for judicial murder, directing that Jesus, though guiltless, should die, all the same to keep people happy. Pilate saw this as a shrewd government.
Yeah.
How cynical can you get?
Yeah, that's a little... Let's
give you some insight onto who he was.
Harsh.
Yeah.
And true.
Yeah. Oh, totally. But you don't think of that. You don't always think of that.
Yeah.
And this, creed kind of stops you in your tracks to go, okay, why is this in here? Why is this important?
That's the thing that I got. It's like some people think that this line, suffered under Pontius Pilate, is the strangest line in the Apostles' Creed. Yeah. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why is this here? Why do we need to have this admonition that somehow the Romans did this?
Yeah.
When, I mean, it was the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Like, even in Scripture, it's the high priest and the Pharisees. Like, we get into the book of Acts, it's going to be, you know, Peter and Stephen saying, you killed this man.
Yeah.
Right? In their sermons, in their speeches.
Yeah.
And so you realize that there's something about it that Matthew in Matthew 27, 24, Mark in 15, 15, Luke in 23, 24, and John 19, 15, and 16.
Yeah.
All name Pontius Pilate. Like, he's a central player in this deal enough that he was named in all those spots. And like I said, Peter in Acts 3:13 and Paul in Acts 13:28 say, basically, I believe Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate is another way of saying, I believe the Bible is historically true. Yes,
that's it. That's the key.
There's a historical character. You can go find him everywhere.
Yeah.
He is listed as the proconsul, or is that the right term?
Yeah, proconsul,
Of Israel, of the Middle East, of that area, established by the Roman government.
Yeah.
Like, there is reams of paper that prove he is a real dude.
Yeah.
And there's paper that proves there was a trial for a guy named Jesus, right? We've got we've got evidence of that in Pliny the Younger, in Josephus. A few other Jewish and or Roman historians who were looking at the history of basically Jerusalem. But here is this, there was this guy, Jesus.
And then the scores of New Testament manuscripts that have been
the thousands of those.
That we have way more of.
Yeah, I was leaving those. I was leaving those as like kind of, hopefully you all accept that, that there are lots of Bible stuff.
But exactly. And it, like you said, it roots it in history. And it sets it apart, because when you start reading the creed, you know, it could be like any, it could be like some mythology that people are reading or whatever. Here's a, you know, here's a story about Hercules or something, you know, but once you go, here's a real dude that killed, that killed him. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. You go, okay.
Yep.
That's, what do I do with that?
This is what historical, do you do with that?
This was an historical event with a historical people.
Yeah.
In real place, real time.
And that's why, I mean, one of the, I think, not one of the reasons, probably the reason that it's here.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, did he, did Jesus suffer under Pontius Pilate? No, well, Pontius Pilate tried to wash his hands of it and wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But he allowed it.
But approved it. Yeah.
But he is the name in the whole thing that is the most historically trackable, right? And somehow in the early creed, they knew that. They knew that they could name him and it would give legitimacy to the historical aspect of what was going on. It drops it into a specific place.
Yeah.
Pilate's name drops it into a specific place, a specific time in history.
Yeah.
And it's searchable, right? It's knowable.
Totally.
Which is,
it's great. And when you think about the creed to this point, everything's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. And in Jesus Christ, his only son, our Lord.
Yeah.
Awesome. Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's great. Born of the Virgin Mary, which we talked about in the last episode. And now you come to suffered all of a sudden.
Yeah,
there is that suffering. Everything's good to this point.
Yep.
And now we say this word suffered, and you recognize, oh, not all, you know, not all is well in the in the grand story here. Jesus had to step in, and we got into some of that in the last episode as well, but Jesus came in for a specific purpose.
Right.
And to pay for the sins of you and me, to pay for the sins of mankind.
Right. Yeah, and there's that little bit there, like as you just said, the suffering, there's the two sides of what Jesus is doing, right?
Yeah,
and that is one is there is the fulfillment of the covenantal law, which is the blood offering for forgiveness of sins, in the temple, right? So there's the peace there. But there is the guilt, the guilt offering, right? And it was interesting. I read, and I didn't write where I where I read it. I want to say it was maybe in R.C. Sproul's book. But there's this idea that Pilate pronouncing, like, "I don't care," is that Gentile, that Gentile part of guilt, right?
Yeah.
So here's this outside of the covenantal.
Yeah.
There's this peace.
You're still complicit.
There's this peace happening, right? And then when you start to look at the covenantal stuff, and specifically the things that go with sacrifice, outside the camp was always equal to separation. So the fact that Jesus in the trial ends up with a Roman guy saying, "Whatever,"
brings
the Gentile peace into it.
Yeah.
The bulls and the heifers and the goats that were killed for a sin offering were always killed outside the temple, and only the blood was carried in. Yeah. So the mere journey that Jesus goes on in the trial and the torturing starts on the outside, ends up on the inside.
There's symbolism,
and there's that symbolic. The blood is coming in. Yeah. Criminals and blasphemers were always put outside the camp in the Levitical law, and this idea that the sin has to be dealt with outside, before the atonement can be secured on the inside. And so you follow that all through, and it starts here with Pontius Pilate. We're going to get there next week with the crucified, dead, and buried, and descended into hell.
Yeah.
But there's that idea, right? Jesus is outside of the covenantal system, having the punishment put on him, so that when death occurs and the blood is shed and the temple veil is torn in two, he's now going, as much as we understand it as the temple veil is torn and God is coming outside, is no longer confined to that spot. Jesus is also going inside to the altar for the sacrifice, which happened on the Day of Atonement, which was actually the same weekend that Jesus was crucified, right? So there's this massive piece of understanding the inside the camp, inside the temple, outside the camp, outside the temple, the tabernacle, all of those things all get wrapped up in the Pontius Pilate name. And I'm 50. I've been a Christian since my mid teens. Nobody had ever drawn that line for me. So I'm still kind of wrapping my head around that inside outside bit. And I always knew, right? Like there was the Gentile piece and the Jewish piece, but I had never put that line
in that
sacrificial system
of the
line.
Crucifixion.
Totally. And gotta be honest, I don't know if I just did justice to that.
Well, the Bible continues to blow our minds.
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Yeah.
And like, that's you now at 50. When you're 60, what are you going to be like going?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Something like that. And people always ask, like, you know, if you've been on the journey, Teresa and I, we decided to start a podcast, not because we thought we had a lot of really smart things to say, but because it would
cause you to dig into some stuff.
I was going to use the word force us to dig into some stuff that we wanted to dig into, but actually put a little bit of a, like, hey, there's a deadline.
Put your feet to the fire
there's
a little bit.
There's a deadline and there's stuff going on. And I mean, now at this point, we got people listening 25 or 26 different countries, and we don't really understand why, but we're having fun. So,
and
we're learning lots more, even though it's a journey that we've been on for a while. So, you know, encouragement there is, don't ever feel like you've got it all figured out. There's always more that you can dig into and learn, right?
Totally.
And so that was my digging in and learning this episode.
Yeah. And that's sharpening again. There's nothing, the base premise there, you already have a knowledge and understanding of the crucifixion.
Yeah.
This is just sharpening. That. So this isn't this isn't like, oh, this is something totally new. Then we get scared.
To quote Shrek, the movie, it's like an onion.
Yeah, exactly.
There's layers.
Exactly. Yeah. But when you start getting into, we can get into weird places when we start saying, oh, I found something totally new in the Bible. Then that's scary. But you're just unearthing more layers.
Yeah. More. I mean, it's not symbolic. This is. And sometimes we have to stop and remember Jesus' death, and here being suffering under Pontius Pilate, it's a prophetic fulfillment.
Yes.
But it is also a covenantal fulfillment of the sacrificial system.
Totally.
Which ends right here.
Yeah.
Right?
On
this crucifixion, the system is finally fulfilled in its fullness by Jesus, who is fully God.
Yeah.
So the one who wants it to be fulfilled, and fully man, the one who has the obligation to do something for the atonement that is being secured, right? So you have that reality and you start to realize, like, that's not new to me.
No.
But just this piece that inside, outside, and the sacrificial bit, That's kind of helped me to understand, because at first I was like, this is going to be the shortest podcast ever on this one, right? Like, we got 12 minutes. Pontius Pilate was a real dude. Mm-hmm. Jesus suffered. Okay, on to the next one, right? And but then I started getting into it, and I'm like, oh, man, there are some smart theologians out there who I trust that have done way more work on this than I thought was possible. Mm-hmm. And it was a good thing, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, we said this before, but that's also why Hebrews is such an awesome book to read in the New Testament, of just hearkening back to all these Old Testament pictures and showing again how Christ has fulfilled that, how Christ has done away with it, and how he's better, and he's the one the once for all sacrifice. And not only was he the sacrifice, but he's also the priest, and he's the king.
Yeah,
he fulfills all the roles.
He does it all
in himself. Which is incredible.
Yeah.
It's still such an important line that suffered, and then we start to go, why did he suffer? And why did he need to suffer? And then we go, oh, I have a part to play in this too.
Yep.
I'm the reason he's on that cross.
Yeah.
So it brings it to life for us personally, in the sense of, okay, this Jesus is my Lord, and he's my Lord who suffered on my behalf.
Yeah.
And
it's that little bit where in the garden, Jesus asks for the cup of wrath to be passed. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And it's that moment in discipleship and evangelism when people finally understand what that cup of wrath is.
Yeah.
Then I know that we're getting somewhere, because then they realize, oh, that's my part.
Yeah.
The part that Jesus didn't want to drink and endure and suffer for.
Yeah.
I helped fill that cup of wrath up.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to drink it because he was perfect.
Yeah.
Because it's not his.
Yeah.
But he's willing to drink it because he knew we were without hope without it, right? Yeah. And so that's a massive piece of this, and that is the suffering, right?
Yeah.
The torment and then the torture. And you know, you have the prophecies that say, like, he's going to be beaten, his body is going to be lashed, all of those things that are all throughout the Old Testament.
Yeah.
They come to the fulfillment because Pilate said, I wash my hands of this.
Yeah.
And let the people have him, right? Totally. Let the Pharisees have him.
Yeah, and you think of like these hymns and songs that we sing, like how great the Father's, or how deep the Father's love for us.
Yeah.
Ashamed I hear my mocking voice,
yeah.
Call out among the scoffers. Like, if we were there, we sometimes think, you know, we think we're the heroes, or we think, I wouldn't do that. Like,
yeah.
But when you actually have a proper view of things, you recognize, oh, I would be there jeering at Jesus and spitting. Yeah. Or
we feel like, oh man, Peter, what are you doing, Peter? Yeah. Denying three times.
I'm
like, what about the other disciples? They weren't even there.
Yeah.
Like, they were gone.
And which Jesus foretold.
Yeah.
As he was sitting with them, you know,
exactly.
Instituting the Lord's Supper.
Exactly. And you're going to scatter. Even in that.
Yeah.
There's Jesus suffering because he was he was doing this alone.
Yeah.
Right. And
they go to pray, they go and they can't stay awake and all these things, but that's you and me.
Yeah. And, oh, totally. I do love in the Pilate, trial, John chapter 19, mm-hmm. if you go to verse 11, right? Pilate says in verse 10, will you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and to authorize to crucify you? Mm-hmm. And Jesus answers him, you have no authority over me at all unless it is given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin, right? Talking about the Pharisees and the problems that they've got. And then that's where Pilate washes his hands, because here's this guy. Like, don't you know I have the authority to make this go really easy for you? And Jesus is like, no, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you have no authority over me.
No.
None.
No.
It's like,
I actually gave this.
All right.
I actually gave this to you.
Yeah. You have authority because.
Yeah. I'm allowing it. You know,
the Father allows that.
Yeah.
I allow that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy.
The Anglican Catechism, I think, gives just some good summary statements for this line. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. Why did Jesus suffer? It asks. Jesus suffered as a sacrifice for our sins so that we could have peace with God, as prophesied in the Old Testament. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. It then asks, in what ways did Jesus suffer? On earth, the incarnate Son shared physically, emotionally, and spiritually in the temptations and sufferings common to all people, yet without sin. That getting back to, you know, when we talk about Jesus growing up and, you know, being, you know, Mary and Joseph parenting this perfect son without sin. In his agony and desolation on the cross, he uniquely suffered in my place for my sins, and in so doing revealed God's love and compassion for falling or fallen and suffering humanity. How do Jesus' sufferings help you? Jesus has experienced our sufferings, understands our sorrows, and is able to sympathize with our weakness. Therefore, I should bear my sufferings with perseverance and hope, for my Savior is with me in them, and through them I will come to know him more fully. And I think that's a big piece as well, this suffered piece, because as we confess this you know, in our own prayers, but more so, like you were talking about at school, saying the Apostles' Creed, was that this episode? I can't remember now.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think,
you know, talking.
I don't know. Maybe not. Yeah. I don't know. they blur together.
Episode
we record two at a time. Yeah, yeah. This is number two today. So I don't know.
But talking about reciting with other people, reciting this with the church, we are saying following Christ, there's a suffering piece to this. Paul talks about that too, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection.
Yeah.
You know, and Paul recognizing this is going to cost something. So this is a triumphant faith in the sense of we triumph over sin. But that might look not so triumphant.
Right.
The cross doesn't look so triumphant.
Yeah.
Pontius Pilate washing his hands and saying, you know, go ahead and do whatever you're going to do. That's not good news in that moment.
Yeah.
But then we see out of that suffering comes resurrection and life and salvation.
Yeah.
And
that's
where, you know, Steve and I, you know, we veer off the path from the prosperity gospel and these other people that kind of claim something that doesn't line up with the creed, and it certainly doesn't line up with what we see in the scriptures.
Right.
So Christianity is the way of the cross and the way of suffering, and it's not always going to be easy or fun or pleasant.
Yeah,
but it's better.
It's that both hand, and you know, you can't say that following Christ will automatically lead to you being healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Yeah.
Just like you can't say following Christ will automatically make you poor and suffering.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to reconcile both.
Yes.
And you have to be able to walk out in faith both of those things, right? And this is a perfect example of this line is in there to remind us, we're children of the King.
Yeah.
He suffered.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like he suffered at the hands of Pilate to death. And one of the things that we have to remember is, yes, Jesus is laying down his life, but also, yes, the sacrificial system demands a death.
Yeah.
So there is an aspect of Jesus is laying down what he has, but he's also submitting himself to the system that was there, which is going to take something from him.
Yeah.
His life.
Yeah.
His earthly life.
Yeah.
And so there is that both and. The piece of it, which is so often you find that all over the place in scripture, right? You've got to reconcile both and.
Yeah. And then the garden, you know, in the garden, just going off of that, what he had to give up. In the garden, you know, he's pleading. There's another way.
Yeah.
You know, there's another way, but your will be done.
Yeah.
And how much of our life reflects that or should reflect that?
Yeah. And even there, right? Like, I remember reading, like, that sweating blood is a real result of extreme anxiety and stress. Like you can actually sweat blood.
Yeah.
The medically has happened before and it's like, okay, like
when you have the weight of the world, literally,
this is not a walk in the park for Jesus.
No.
Yeah.
No. So short line suffered under Pontius Pilate, but again, roots it in history. This is a real event, a real place, real people. And Christianity is going to be the way of suffering. We're going to rejoice in Christ's glory, but we're also going to share in his sufferings. And we will get a crown but yep. we might get a cross first.
Exactly.
Just like Jesus.
I have two things circled from what I was reading, but if history never saw a real Jesus, a real cross, a real empty tomb, and a real Pontius Pilate, then the center of Christianity simply becomes a lie.
Yeah.
And to say, I believe Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, is just another way of saying, I believe the Bible is true
yes.
and historically accurate.
Yeah.
Which means, you know, we... Last episode was about the virgin birth and conceived by the Holy Spirit, and you talked about the babies yeah. like the miraculous babies yeah. throughout yeah. Scripture, and
totally.
You have to go, okay, the Bible's true and historically accurate.
Yeah.
When you're well past childbearing age, like yeah. Sarah and Abraham were, yeah. if God so desires to bless you with a child.
Yeah.
You're going to have one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I love saying that to the seniors in our church, and they look at me like I'm crazy, and I'm like, no, no. Like, that's a real deal.
He can do that.
That's a real deal. You wanna sell a property and promise the proceeds to a Christian organization or your church and then choose to renege? God can strike you dead. That's yeah. a real deal.
Yeah.
Like, that happened.
Yeah.
And it's on the table as a reality.
Yeah.
All of these realities that we read of in Scripture, they're not just, and I think maybe it was last episode,
yeah.
it's not a mythology. It's no. not just no. good stories about interesting stuff to make a point.
Yeah.
There's the very real reality that when we have situations like this where God has decided to do something that is just out of the world of normal, well, that's normal for him.
Yeah.
Which means we have to be okay with that in our lives too. Like if
yeah.
God says, pick up your stuff and go to a place that I'll show you, start packing.
Totally.
It's time to go,
yeah.
right? This is how God works.
Yeah.
And here it is again in yeah. this one.
And if we believe in God, the Father Almighty, he is a God who is involved in our world and
yeah.
involved in history and intervenes in history and supernaturally acts upon history.
Yeah, yeah.
We've said this before. We're not deists. We don't believe in yeah. a God who set
nope.
this into motion and walked away. No, God has
exactly.
God has created, and he sent his son, born of a Virgin Mary, who suffered, and then we're going to carry on and see more about what Christ has accomplished for us in the rest of the creed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks for joining us for our conversation today. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can always subscribe, leave a like or comment on our social streams, or tell others about us. We appreciate any help in getting connected to people who are interested. As always, you can find us online at discipleship.ca and on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great day. Hope you can join us next time.